Here's another message from Pastor Phil Carswell from Life Christian Church.
Good morning. I wonder who's ever done anything really dumb. They're a bit frightened to put their hands up, mate. I thought perhaps I could tell you some of the things that I've done that have been really dumb. And then I thought, no, save me the embarrassment of that. I doubt that there's one of us here today who hasn't done something pretty dumb in life. I hope it's not as dumb as this guy that's going to come up on the screen, though. For the benefit of the tape, the guy's trying to trim the top of his hedge with his ride-on mower suspended by a crane. We've all done dumb things, but I hope not as dumb as that. Seriously, though, we've all had some slip-ups. We've all made some mistakes, and some of us have had some failures. Some of those things are things that just make us embarrassed and a bit sheepish when we think about it. Other things are perhaps a little bit more serious, where something we might have done or something we might have said, something we participated in, or our response to something that's been done or said, maybe something we looked at that affect us in a personal way. Other things can be even more serious, where it impacts our relationships with other people, our friendships, our family relationships, maybe even our reputation. Sometimes there's a moral failure, an ethical failure, or even a marriage failure. And I'll just tell you today that failures can seriously impact our perception of ourselves. And when that happens, it leaves us chained up in a prison of shame. In that place, we can actually believe the lie that our failure is who we are, rather than just something that's happened or something that we've done. And in that place, we're often trapped into thinking that we can never recover. This morning, we want to talk about recovering from failure. And we want to look at some scriptures together. We've called it rebounding from failure, and I've done that purposely because rebound's a basketball term, as you might know. When you rebound in offense, you get another shot. When you rebound in defense, you turn defense into offense and an opportunity to move forward with the ball. Rebounding from failure. Four things for us to do under this topic. And the first I suggest is acknowledge that Jesus has a plan for your life. Now let me read a couple of verses from John's Gospel. And the background to this is the day after Jesus was baptized. And John was baptizing again and he saw Jesus. And he called out when he saw Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God." There were two disciples or two men there who heard him say that, and so they followed Jesus and asked where he was staying and spent the rest of the day with him. And then we pick up the story in verse 40 of chapter 1 of John's Gospel, and it says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said, and he had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." That is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Now Cephas is Aramaic. Peter is Greek. Both words mean the rock. And at this point, Jesus looked at him. And at that point in time, Peter was anything but a rock. He was impulsive. He was unstable. And I want to just suggest to you this morning, Jesus named him not for what he was, but for what by God's grace he was going to become. The rock. There was a calling on Peter's life right from the very beginning. Jesus looked at him and he saw something in him that was future. He saw something that he was going to become under God's grace in his life. And useful, productive in the kingdom of God. And of course, if we read on in the history of Peter, and we will do in a moment, you'll see that he became a giant of the faith, a leader of people, a shepherd of the people. And so let's bring it right back personally and say, if you're a believer today, if you've met Jesus, if you've said yes to Jesus and you're on the Christian pathway, I'm going to say to you that Jesus looks at you in the same way that he did at Peter. And what he sees in you is what you will become and the role that you will play in the kingdom work of God in this current world. Talk about purpose. Talk about direction. Here it is. And we are partners with Jesus and the power of his Spirit in our lives to be Jesus to our world. And that's reflected in our individuality. See, from the moment the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us and comes upon us as an indwelling presence and we are born again, life becomes a ministry. Now, we make the mistake sometimes of thinking, what is ministry? Ministry is something that's done from the front of the church. And you know, we wonder, that's a myth. Ministry is life. We're all involved in a ministry of some sort. A ministry is God working through us and being Jesus to the world. Or whatever role we have in life, that is ministry now. God working in and through us. And how we live for God is our ministry, and it will be shaped by our life experiences. So what has happened to you in your life up until now is preparing you and equipping you for your ministry for the rest of your life. And that's an exciting part of it. The good things, the tough things, the joys, the sad things, the victories, the failures. So my encouragement to you and to me this morning is that we embrace our past as life-building blocks in how we live for God from here on in life. You have a ministry. You're just like Peter. Jesus looks at you, sees the future, and what you'll become for him. Can we take this a step further? Let's look a little further in Luke chapter 22. And we're looking at the story of Peter. Again, the setting is, this is the Last Supper. And Jesus is about to make his way to Calvary after this. The guards will come, take him away. And he's having this Last Supper with his disciples. In Luke 22, verse 31. And we read there where he speaks specifically to Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. But Simon replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me. Interesting verses for us. See, Peter was bold and brash and sure of himself, but Jesus knew that Peter was going to fail. But he also knew that he was going to turn back. He said, when you turn back, he knew that it was going to be repentance and forgiveness was going to be his portion when you turn back. And I just want to point out to you today that despite knowing that Peter would fail, Jesus confirms Peter's calling. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus knew he was going to fail. But his calling was still there. The calling wasn't taken back. Failure is not final. It's just a bend in the road. The calling remains. Your slip-ups, mistakes, failures do not wipe out Jesus' plan for your life. And we need to grab hold of that this morning. When Jesus drew us to himself at that conversion moment, he knew what he was getting in for. I wondered what he thought when he looked into my life and my future and saw my failings and mistakes just as he did for you as well. I wondered what on earth he thought. He knew what he was getting in for. And yet he gave his life on the cross for me. That is just outstanding. Talk about amazing grace. No wonder we serve God out of a love that we have for him. Failure is not final, just a bend in the road. Responding to failure, the second point that I want to make this morning is that we need to acknowledge the failure. We read down in Luke chapter 22 and we see a little bit more of the story. In verse 54, we read there, this is when the soldiers have come, taken Jesus, and now we see this particular scene. Verse 54, it says, then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, just take note of that, we talk about there's a fire here, so he's warming himself around the fire. When they kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied, a woman, I don't know him, she said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you are also one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. But an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. So his accent was giving him away. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Oh dear, dreadful statement, isn't it? The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord that he had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. I wonder how Peter felt at that moment when his eyes caught Jesus' eyes. Must have been a dreadful experience. There was no place to hide. He recognized his failure straight away, and there were tears of repentance. Folk, I just want to suggest to us, we all need to get to that place when there's been a failure. When there's been a problem, we all need to get to that place. There needs to be tears of repentance. We need to acknowledge the failure, seek God's forgiveness and his healing in our lives. Now, if there's been a relationship breakdown, a friendship or a family or even a marriage, we need to acknowledge our part in that. The things that have been done and said and our responses to the things that have been done and said. It's no use blaming other people. We need to take responsibility for our part in that. We need to acknowledge the failure. Thirdly, can I suggest that the next point is we need to live out of a position of grace. We need to live out of a position of grace. Let me read John 21 to you. Just the last part of John 21, the last chapter. In verse 1 we said afterward, and again the setting here is after the resurrection and the disciples are out fishing or going out fishing. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't recognize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you got any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Wonder how Peter was feeling. Put yourself in his position. There were reminders of the night because there was another fire. And no doubt as he smelt that fire, he may well have been reminded of the events of the night before, whenever it was, a few days before. How was Jesus going to respond to me, he must have been thinking. I wonder if he had his head bowed. I wonder if he had eye contact with Jesus at that point in time. Let's read on. Verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." Third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." I want you to notice that failure is not mentioned. The event that occurred, Jesus doesn't even mention it. Because Jesus knew Peter's heart. He knew that a repentance had happened. He knew that he was real about his failure. He knew that he'd acknowledged his failure. And there was forgiveness that came from that. Jesus was interested in the present and the future. And it's important for us to understand this. Jesus was interested in the future and the present. He said, "Do you love me in the now? Even though there's been a failure, you've come back and there's been repentance. Now I've forgiven you. But in the now, do you love me? Is your faith real? Do you want to walk with me? If you love me, then get on with your role. Feed my lambs, my little sheep. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep." Now that role may have been unique to Peter, but our role may be a little different to Peter. But the answer is the same. Phil, do you love me? And if you love me, then get on with your role. The job that I've given you to do, we haven't taken that away. I sort of suspect that Jesus said to Peter, "You've taken a tumble, Peter, but it's now time to get on your horse, mate, and do the job that I've asked you to do." If you're a believer today and you know Jesus, in our time of slip-ups and mistakes and failures, we need to be reminded of what the Bible says. God has adopted you into his family. God has adopted us into his family. It cost him his Jesus' life. He went to a great length for you to be brought into his family. And that's the position that we now stand in, adopted into God's family. He is our loving Heavenly Father. He's a good, good Father. And we are loved by him. And that's the position that we have. I didn't earn it. You didn't either. Your performance didn't contribute one bit to that position. Now, including your failures, your performance, even including your failures now, doesn't cancel that either. So our position cannot be cancelled, but our relationship with Jesus needs to be, I guess, we need to have that relationship close with him after there's been that failure, which comes through repentance and forgiveness. We experience God's grace, his undeserved favour, not just at our Damascus Road experience, but also all through life's journey. God is our loving Heavenly Father. We are his beloved children. This is our position, and we need to live out of our position in all the events of life. So hang on to that position that we have that's been given to us, not based on our performance, but based on God's grace to us. So with our slip-ups, with our mistakes, with our failures, Jesus says, "Do you love me in the now? Then get back on your horse, do the job I've called you to do." Let me tell you a story. In his late 20s, Barry was commissioned by his denominational leaders to pastor a new church plant in country New South Wales. He was married with three small children. And although he was quite underprepared for the job, things went quite well for the first couple of years. That is, until his wife became ill with cancer and died. The day she died, a pastor from the same denomination knocked on his door and in the ensuing conversation told Barry that his wife had died because he didn't have enough faith and he had not prayed enough. In his grief and confusion, he left the church. He didn't give up on his faith, but he pretty well gave up on church. When I met Barry, he was in his mid-50s. He was facing some very difficult personal challenges. And he said to me, "I'm overwhelmed and I shouldn't be. Explain to me what was happening." And I said to him, "Why wouldn't you be? If I were faced with your circumstances, I would be overwhelmed too." Fear just had engulfed his life. And it was all about fear of God in his life. Here, some 30-odd years after the event, he was still carrying the burden of condemnation for the words that had been spoken over him. And he's really saying, "God is not pleased with me. The things that are happening to me now, God is punishing me." And there was this burden of fear. The lies that had been said. In fact, it was spiritual abuse that he had experienced. So what we had to do is to break it off him. We had to remove those words that had been spoken over him and the burden that he was carrying. Cut it off your back. You don't need to carry that. And then to sow seeds of truth so that we could get some healing for him. So we simply said, "Barry, God is your loving Heavenly Father. You are his dearly loved child. This position is a gift to you, not dependent on your performance. And Barry, it's okay to be okay, to not okay. It's okay to be not okay. Because there are times when we are not okay. But during that time, we come to our Heavenly Father. And there we ask for strength from our loving Heavenly Father. We seek his strength. Barry, we need to live out of a position of grace." I hope by talking about that particular event, you understand the drift that I'm bringing to you. We need to live out of that position of grace. We need to see God as he truly is. We need to have reverence for God, but not fear. God is our loving Heavenly Father. He understands, he knows, and he has a plan for us. And he walks the portion part of life with us. Grace-giving, merciful Heavenly Father. What have we said? Rebounding for failure. We need to acknowledge that Jesus has a plan for our life, acknowledge the failure, live out of a position of grace, and fourthly and lastly, we need to deal with the voices. I don't know about you, but my brain's a bit funny because I forget what I want to remember, and blow me down, I remember what I want to forget. Has that happened to you? And you know, it's just like that with failure, isn't it? We can't get that out of our mind. And the devil loves that because he wants to derail us from our calling. So he brings to our mind the failures and we tend to forget the good things that happened. I want you to imagine what Peter felt like every time he heard a rooster crow. It must have been a trigger point that took him back into the past to his failure. And we all have trigger points that bring us back into what happened. And the devil loves it. He doesn't want us to forget because that handicaps us, that hinders us, that derails us from getting back on the horse and doing the job that he's asked us to do. How do we deal with a rooster? We come back to that position. Now, this is God's gift. He's given it to me. I didn't earn it. My performance didn't earn it for me. And my performance now doesn't cancel it out. That's my position. It's a position of grace. It's a gift. Not about my performance. Think forgiveness. Think healing. Think loving Heavenly Father and a child returning to a loving Heavenly Father. That's dealing with our self-talk. Others talk as well. You know, I probably don't have to tell you there are some people who are not as good at forgiving and grace-giving as Jesus is. They don't forget your slips and your failures. You have no control over what other people think or how they respond to you. But the important thing is, what does God think about me? What does God think about me? I am His precious child. He has sent Jesus to die for me on the cross. And He loves and cares for me. He's the loving Father. He's a good, good Father. That's the important thing. I am a dearly loved child. We need to seek His forgiveness. That restores fellowship with Him. And then we need to commit to live under the control of the Holy Spirit, seeking to walk in step with the Spirit every day.